Hey, everybody. My name is Father Dan Ketter, and I am here with the one, the only Father Henry Attem.
I knew you were going to do that, but that's okay.
My seminary classmate, my ordination brother, and my mentor in the priesthood.
You're so generous, Father Dan.
Well, I cannot be generous enough with my words of praise for my brother, Father Henry. It's great to be here together, and I know we're going to have a fun time, and I know we're going to raise some big money. Which is our goal. That's why we're here. We're here to, of course, have a good time, but we're here most of all to raise money for the quest.
Absolutely.
And our goal, we're setting our ambitions high, $5,000, right?
That's not a high ambition, though.
That's not a high
ambition.
We need to go higher?
Well, we'll be prudent. We'll be modest. Okay. Yeah, let's be modest. So we'll go $5,000.
We don't want to embarrass the other
guys who've been here, right?
So,
that's right.
So we'll set the goal at $5,000. That means we're going to need a lot of folks calling in and making pledges.
Absolutely.
So of the many, many, many members of the Father Henry Attem fan club, if we get like 2% of that fan club to call in, we'll shatter $5,000, all right? So all of you Father Henry Attem fans out there, get on the phone.
Absolutely.
Get on your Quest app and start making those donations.
Absolutely. Father Dan, thank you so much. And just as a reminder, as we begin the show, the number for you to call to make your donations is 470-508-1160. Again, that number is 470-508-1160. And as Father Dan said, we have been friends for such a long time, since from seminary, and we're here today to just continue extending that friendship and to spend some time also here with our friends at the Quest to try to help them to continue to promote the great work of evangelization.
So, I have been a listener to the Quest ever since they got it kicked off. So I do my little commute every morning. So I'm the judicial vicar for the Archdiocese. I live at Holy Family Catholic Church in Marietta, and I commute every day over to Smyrna. It's not a long commute, but it's a commute nonetheless to the chancery offices of the Archdiocese. And I will often tune into the Quest and listen to what's going on in the morning, and then same thing coming back in the evening. And I just value the fact that we have Catholic radio in Atlanta. It's been a long time coming. It's taken a lot of people and a lot of effort to make it a reality in Atlanta, and we need to keep it in Atlanta, and we need to make it grow.
Yeah.
So that's where you all come in, our donors, our supporters. So please call and support the station so we can keep it going here in Atlanta.
I agree with you, Father Dan. And one of the challenges, given the fact that it is an AM station at this point, one of the challenges is the range. It is not able to get to as wide of a range as we'd like it to. So part of the goal for the fundraiser is to try to help us to broaden the range of the outreach. But for those who are not within the range to get it on radio, on their in the car or anything else, they could always download the app.
I did that today.
Oh, you did?
I did that today. As we were prepping to come on, I thought, I'd be a bit of a hypocrite if I didn't have the app on my phone.
Well, that was good. I mean, because I was down at St. George in Noonan, I was a little bit out of the range. Yeah. So I always had to listen in through the app. And that was very good. It was, wonderful. And I was able to stay connected.
Yeah. Where are you now? You recently left St. George in Noonan.
I recently left St. George.
Tell us where you are.
Okay. Well, I'm up at St. Lawrence in Lawrenceville. It's about more 20 minutes north of Atlanta. So it is very different place, very different parish.
Yeah, how do the two compare, St. George and St. Lawrence?
Well, so St. George was about 1,200 families. St. Lawrence is about 4,000 families. Ooh. So it's quite a much bigger responsibility. Yeah. But as we both understand in the priestly vocation, like we hear in the book of Zechariah, not by power, not by might, but by the Spirit of the living God. So
amen.
Ultimately, it is God's Spirit that continues to help and guide us in our tasks.
Amen.
And as I started my assignment over at St. Lawrence, I think for the last 3 months, I've continued to experience a full measure of the Holy Spirit helping me and guiding me, especially, for those of us who had to move at this time of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a particular challenge to be able to try to acclimate ourselves in the new parishes and all of that. But mm-hmm. I think the Holy Spirit has really been there to help us and to support us.
I have no doubt that you're bringing the Spirit.
We're trying,
at St. Lawrence.
We're trying,
yeah, good things are in store. Why don't we just remind people of the phone number to call and make a pledge to the Quest. It's 470-508-1160, 470-508-1160. And as Father Henry mentioned, you can also use your app. I just downloaded it today, as I mentioned a minute ago, and you cannot miss the fact that they want you to make a donation when you
absolutely
it's right there on the home screen. Donate here, donate now.
Yeah.
So however you want to do it, just call and make a donation. We got a big goal this hour, $5,000. So we're going to need your support out there. Anyone, everyone listening who appreciates Catholic Radio, please call in, use your app, make a donation. Let's hit our goal of $5,000 this hour.
Yeah. And I think that's it's very important, especially at this time during the pandemic, when so many people have been locked up at home and people have not had the chance to, a lot of people have still not been able to go to church. And we have to look for very unconventional ways of trying to remain connected with church, but also connected with God.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that an opportunity like the Quest, I think is very instrumental at this time. Again, not only helping people get some good Catholic material and good Catholic teachings, but I think also it gives them this time for rosary, this time for meditation, this time for prayers and all of that. And I think it continues to offer our listeners the tools that they need to remain connected.
You touch on something that I want to ask you about.
Yeah.
I'm not serving in a parish full time. I help out in parishes on the weekends, a little bit during the week. But you're full time in the parish, in the trenches.
Yes.
How are you weathering this pandemic and all the craziness that's going on as a priest?
Yeah.
As a priest, how are you handling it, and how do you see your mission or what God's calling you to do as a priest right now through all this?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's an interesting question, because I think that the pandemic started when I was at St. George, and the dynamics of the parish of St. George were a little different than it is over here at St. Lawrence. But I think all in all, I think there is a sense, first of all, of the fact that you have to be some kind of source of hope for the people, right? That people should be able to see in their priest, they should be able to hear in the voices of their priest the fact that this is not what defines us. This is not, this pandemic doesn't have the final word. That, you know, again, we still serve an awesome God who is above all of this, and that there's a lesson that we're going to learn through all of this, right? I think that just having gone through this pandemic for as long as we have, I think one thing I've noticed is how a lot of people appreciate just going to church.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the ability to be able to be in a place of worship.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that for so many months churches were closed, I mean, really showed me how much people appreciate what we do, you know.
That's interesting, because some people have worried or wondered, you know, are people just going to get used to not going to church, you know, and they just kind of, you know, think my life is okay without going to church. Are you seeing something different? Are you seeing like a real longing in people to be back in church and in community at Mass?
Well, I mean, I think that honestly, there's about a 25% population of the people, of the parishioners, who I think have bought into the laziness of what the pandemic has brought. I think they have been caught up in the indifference that has come about because of not going to church. And because when the pandemic started, so the trend that I've seen over the last few months is that at the beginning, a lot of people were tuning into their local parishes to watch either via YouTube or some live stream or all the different avenues we had to try to get the message out. So as the pandemic continued and as it progressed, I think that people became used to, well, this is just going to be the new normal, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I noticed was that the moment we open up the churches, people are coming back. It is slow,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily because of a lack of faith. It's just out of caution, right?
Mm-hmm.
People are afraid because as we see on the news, I mean, the pandemic is still out there. I mean, the virus is still ravaging our society. So I think mm-hmm. a lot of people are concerned about that.
Sure.
But I think that genuinely there is a 75% group of people will have a desire to want to come back, and they really miss not having church or not being able to go to church.
Yeah.
And I truly see that. Because even at my current parish, we've been doing, taking steps to reopen slowly and gradually and safely. And I see how when we open up that little window, more people come in. You know, we open up the little window and more people come in.
So maybe for some people, it's perhaps to open up an opportunity for them to maybe just drift a little bit more, sadly, unfortunately. But for others, and maybe the greater percentage based on your, you know, what you're perceiving, it's really kind of stimulated in them, you know, their appreciation for their faith, for the church, for the Mass, for the Eucharist.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Has it changed the way that you preach? Have you altered it all the way you preach during the pandemic?
Not really, because change,
you just preach the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. That's
doesn't
right.
matter what's going
Call
on.
Call down the Holy Spirit
Amen.
Upon them, right?
Yeah.
No, but I think the change has been from when we had to do it through live stream. Well, at St. Lawrence, they have live stream permanently. At St. George, we never had that. So when we never had people coming to church, we had to do a YouTube thing. So that affected the way you preach, because at that time there was completely no one in the church except me and my deacon, and of course the camera crew.
Strange, huh?
Yeah, exactly. It was strange. You're trying to give a homily to an empty church with a camera crew in front of you. Those cameras, there were lights, you know, it was almost like a production. So that affected, you know, the way preaching was done, because first of all, it took away an element of your natural self. But now, with a few more people back in church, you know, it's back to, you know, the regular way of preaching and the regular interactions that you try to create when you're, you know, when you're talking to a live audience.
Feels a little bit more normal lately.
Exactly. Kind of more normal.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
People, you don't know how lucky we are to be having the opportunity to speak with Father Henry at 10 here
on the judicial vicar of the Archdiocese.
I am just, you know, you made me think of the fact that when you went to St. Lawrence, I was a little saddened because, you know, when you went to St. George, I got to be your John the Baptist. I got to be the voice of one crying out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. People are wondering, what the heck does that mean?
I know, what does that mean, right?
So the before Father Henry could arrive at his new assignment, St. George, down in Noonan, was first pastor, right?
Yeah, that was my first pastor.
Yeah, you had long had a trip planned.
A trip planned to Rome.
Right.
Yeah.
So you needed somebody to cover for you that first weekend
before you showed up.
And he called me. And so I had the opportunity to go down there and celebrate the masses and preach at St. George. And I told the people that I was John the Baptist. I was going before the Lord to prepare the way that the Messiah is coming.
You know, as Father Dan said at the beginning, we are both buddies from seminary. We're classmates from seminary and we're ordained together. And every time throughout my priestly ministry for the last 12 plus years, everything I try to do, I always ask myself the question, what will Father Dan do? What will Father Dan do? And I take all my marching orders just thinking about what Father Dan will do.
And the miracle is that he's still a priest.
He's still a priest. All right, folks, we need some money to come in. So I'm going to read the number for you all again to make your pledges and your donations. The number is 470-508-1160. 470-508-1160. And again, please, just a reminder that our goal for this hour is 5,000. Any where do we stand in terms of our goal? Any sense?
Well, I want to remind people, actually, I don't even think we've mentioned it, that the first $1,500 this hour is going to be matched.
Okay.
So you better get those fingers dialing that number, 470-508-1160. 470-508-1160. And we've got a few calls coming in so far. I think they're still putting more in.
Okay.
But we've got Lauren W., and she has a message for the two of you. She says, thank you for your fidelity, fathers.
Oh, beautiful.
And Lauren's out of Atlanta. Kathy M., donating in honor of Father Henry. She's out of Tequila. Dennis R., out of Lawrenceville, is also donating in honor of Father Henry. And then Eleanor L. made a donation and said, blessings for Father Henry from the Lachey's, or Lashley's. Lashley's.
Right.
Yes. So they're still putting in more.
Putting in more.
Yep.
All right. Sounds
all right.
Good.
More yeah. fans from the Father Henry Attend Fan Club. Come on, come on. You cannot be outdone. Just call in, make a donation, support the quest. Do you have a favorite program or anything in particular you like to listen to on
the quest?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I like to listen. They have the show with Father Blunt. I think it's Jim Blunt. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I do listen to that very often.
Yeah.
I think I like his insight into things and, mm-hmm. and all of that.
Yeah.
And I like to put some things here in perspective. So we're getting all of these calls, and they are calling saying that they are making a donation on behalf of Father Henry. I just want you all to know that, as Father Dan said, we're the one in the trenches, okay? But I will not do what I do if Father Dan did not do what he does. So Father Dan works in the chancery offices with the Archbishop. And so Father Dan is in charge of our tribunal. His work is in the main office of the Archdiocese, and he helps us with at the central location. So those of us who are in the trenches, our work is only effective to the extent that we rely on people like Father Dan. So, Father Dan, we're grateful for your work as judicial vicar. And as I said, from the day I met you, you've always been my inspiration. So I know there's some other priests who might be a little jealous when they hear this, but that's okay. I'll stand by it.
Excellent. I remember the... when you visited the seminary, before you entered the formation.
Yes.
Yeah, I was in my first year, and then you came up to visit. Father Henry, I attended Mount St. Mary Seminary up in Emmitsburg, Maryland. And I remember standing outside the seminary, just talking with you. I think it was after dinner one evening, you know, as you were kind of doing your visit. Just talking, getting to know you a little bit, and it's like, it's a good guy.
That's
a good guy. And
well, I thank you, Father.
Yeah.
And I think that the friendship that we had through those years in seminary and which kind of played out into our priesthood, I think has really helped and sustained both of us in very miraculous ways. So again, I think the theme of this hour is living in the Spirit. So I think that through our journeys from our respective families and different vocations in life before we came to seminary, I think that we all have experienced in one way or another the gift of the Holy Spirit. So,
how did the Holy Spirit get you here in Atlanta from Cameroon, Cameroon in Africa? That's right. How did that happen?
Well,
thank God it did.
I mean, exactly, right? That's a long story.
Yeah.
Well, I think the Holy Spirit, on that one, the Holy Spirit worked through my mom, because it was my mom who came here and then finally brought my siblings and me over. So I think the Holy Spirit did work in her and through her to make sure that all of this happened.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that she stayed the course. I'm happy that she worked hard to ensure that we all were able to come over and get the opportunities that we do have now.
Yeah.
So it's a great blessing.
From humble beginnings.
From humble, very, very humble beginnings,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And every time when I visit back at home, I'm reminded of those very humble beginnings, you know. So, but everything, we give glory to God.
Amen.
Right? Yeah.
I would love to be... I don't know if you'd say a fly on the wall, but I would love to be a spy when you return to your hometown of Cameroon. I mean, it's like the return of the king.
No, when I go back in, I'm very insignificant. Nobody even recognizes me. It's like,
I don't believe it.
They'll be like, oh, he looks like a Georgia boy now. You know, like
is he one of ours?
That's right. Everything he says y'all, you know, y'all.
Right.
Okay. All right, folks, we're trying to raise some money here for the Quest 1160. Please call that number. The number is 470-508-1160. That number again is 470-508-1160. Okay.
So, Father Henry, we have an interesting request coming in from one of our potential donors.
Okay.
So, this donor says they're willing to give us money.
Okay.
If Father Henry says Roll Tide.
Oh.
I can say it for you.
I need to know the name of the donor before I do that, because I need
D from Lawrenceville.
Joe Dillon. Oh my gosh.
D. Yeah.
Okay. Joe, because
you might want to like put a dollar value on it first.
That's right. I don't want to get a $25.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
Nope. He's pledging more than that.
He's pledging more than that.
Yep.
Okay. We can't see the amount.
We're not supposed to.
We're not supposed to.
Is it worth it, Annie?
Is it worth me saying?
How much do you despise Roll Tide? Because he may need to call back and up it.
A lot.
Oh, geez. Oh, geez.
I despise that.
Yeah. I think he needs to up that.
See, I used to have a bumper sticker that said, I root for UGA and any team that plays Alabama. So that's how much I despise Alabama. So if he wants me to say Roll Tide, he's going to have to.
Joe, you're going to need, you might need to call back. Because Father Henry's got to think about it. I may pass him a note here. So you may just need to call back. Yes. And we'll see if we can get him to say Roll Tide. Right. Yeah. I mean, it would be painful for me, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't mind doing it. I love the quest so much, but it has to be worth it.
Yeah.
Because after I do that, I'm going to be sweating blood, literally. Yeah. So,
yeah. Father Henry cannot be bought cheap. So, come on, Joe.
So while we're waiting for Joe to up on that pledge,
yes,
Father Dan, I'm going to take this opportunity now to kind of reverse the role here and to ask you.
Okay.
Again, I know working in the chancery is a very different setting, different demands, different environment. So with the pandemic and everything else that has gone on in your life recently, how have things been? I mean, have you been able to weather through all of that?
Yeah, you know, I've said it multiple times that I feel like I have been less impacted by the whole I've been less impacted by it than you guys have in the parishes, in the trenches, as we've said. Personally, I've been able to maintain a relatively regular schedule of, you know, going into the chancery and you know, getting my work done. We've had to change the way we staff the tribunal. All the offices in the chancery have had to alter the way we've staffed. We went to like minimal staff, you know, for several weeks. And then maybe not quite a month ago, we kind of opened it up a little bit. And so now we've got folks coming through on a rotating basis. So we keep the total number of people in the office, you know, at a minimum any one day. But we got people coming in Monday through Saturday. Yeah, we've kind of just kept things churning really through the pandemic. Obviously,
that's good.
Initially there on the weekends, that wasn't needed so much in parishes because, you know, there wasn't a lot of masses being celebrated. But over the last few months, as parishes have been, you know, opening back up again, I've been getting more opportunities to get out there on the weekends and help out. So, I'd say for me, you know, I guess I maybe dodged the bullet in a way that, you know, most people have not been able to. So grateful for that.
And I think given the fact that, you know, the chancery is pretty much an office setting, I think we too in the parishes, I think we had some experience of that, given the fact that we had to shut down offices and we had to open up for very limited activity. And even now we're still trying to reopen slowly but surely and safely and everything else. So, I could understand how, you know, the pandemic would disrupt that, you know, that normal flow.
And, you know, when the pandemic first hit, there was a bit of a silver lining for us in there because the number of cases coming into the tribunal almost stopped.
Oh, wow.
And so it gave us this kind of golden, completely unexpected opportunity to move out of our office a bunch of cases that we were working on. Wow. So we were able to lower our overall, you know, just number inventory of cases. Mm-hmm. And it's put us in a much better situation for handling, you know, the cases that come our way. So it's put us on better footing.
Okay. Wow. Great. Mm-hmm. We're going to be going on break here very soon. So we're going to ask you again to please remember the goal for this hour is $5,000. And I'm a little disappointed. I don't think we are close to the goal. We're still very, very far away from the goal, and we have barely half an hour left for us to be able to meet that goal. So please, we're asking you to try to call 470-508-1160.
And don't forget, your money's being matched up to the first $1,500, so you better get your call in soon. So it gets doubled. I mean, if you've been thinking about being a monthly donor, now's your time because it's going to be doubled. Absolutely. So 470-508-1160.
1160. All right. Thank you.
All right. We're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be back.
Hello, this is Father Brian Baker. I'm a priest for the Archdiocese of Atlanta. And I wanted to share with you a favorite prayer of mine, one that I like to say in a quick moment, which can help throughout a busy day. And it goes like this. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, forgive me, heal me, protect me, sanctify me. Amen.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Dr. Andrea Smith is a prosthodontist in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, who does facial restorations for cancer patients. She also works on children born with cleft lips and palates, giving them the chance to live a normal life. As reported by Columbia Magazine, Dr. Smith pursued this career because it allowed her to combine her interests in arts and engineering to solve socially limiting health problems. She said, "I find it very satisfying to make something like teeth fit a person's face, to be able to find a unique solution to a problem." And, as a highly trained professional, she enjoys saying to patients, "When all hope is lost, come to me. I'll find a way to fix you." This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
The Quest presents Pro-Life Minutes.
RU486 is the name of the medication combination used to complete medical abortions. The first medication, Mifeprex, blocks the action of progesterone, a hormone needed to continue the pregnancy. This medication starves the baby, causing the death of the baby. The second medication is misoprostol and is taken between 12 and 48 hours later. It causes the woman to have severe cramping and bleeding and results in the expulsion of the baby at home. Did you know that between taking the first pill and the second pill, the mother can change her mind and save her baby? Visit abortionpillreversal.com to learn more. There's potential to save the baby even 72 hours after the first pill. Spread the word and help save a baby today. Let's show the world that every life matters by speaking up for life at every opportunity.
For more homegrown wisdom, visit thequestatlanta.com.
A reading from the book of Hosea, chapter 3, verses 21 to 23. I will espouse you to me forever. I will espouse you in right and in justice, in love and in mercy. I will espouse you in fidelity, and you shall know the Lord. On that day I will respond, says the Lord. I will respond to the heavens, and they shall respond to the earth.
It's time to get your pledge in for our Live in the Spirit pledge drive. As a 100% listener-supported station, The Quest relies on your donations to stay on the air. Tune in October 6th through 8th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 4 to 6 p.m. as local clergy and parishioners share inspiring stories of living in the Holy Spirit while raising much-needed funds. You can show your support now and even dedicate your donation to a specific host or guest. Visit thequestatlanta.com to see the pledge drive schedule and to donate. Or call 470-508-1160. Help others live in the Spirit through The Quest by calling 470-508-1160 today.
60 Seconds with Mother Angelica.
Whether I feel controlled by God or I feel abandoned by God, I am still called to what? Bear fruit. I am still called to bear fruit. If it's a cross, I must bear it patiently. If it's a joy, I must be grateful. If someone does me a grave injustice, then I have to bear that too. God will, must be my life, your life. So what our dear Lord is saying, He bore fruit in season, healing the sick and the blind, and He bore fruit out of season. Hanging on a cross, what did He do? He forgave and excused them. In season, out of season.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
I'm Lou Jankowski from St. Peter Chanel Catholic Church in Roswell, Georgia. You're listening to Atlanta Catholic Radio, AM 1160, The Quest.
Alone, my soul rejoices.
All right, my dear friends, welcome back to the Quest, 1160 AM. And again, this is Father Henry Atem. I'm the pastor of St. Lawrence Catholic Church up in Lawrenceville, and I'm in the studio this afternoon with my very good dear friend and brother, Father Dan Ketter, who is our judicial vicar.
It's great to be here with you, Father Henry.
Okay. So when we left off, Father Dan had asked me the question about my, you know, this journey from Cameroon, my little stomping grounds in Cameroon, little city Boya, to big Atlanta. How did all of that happen? And I had talked about my mom being instrumental in that journey. And we all know how moms tend to be very instrumental in our lives, and especially as priests. I think what Archbishop Fulton Sheen once said, you know, behind every priestly vocation is a good and a holy mother.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that I speak for myself and I speak for Father Dan. And not that we are, you know, kind of dissing the fathers or, you know, ignoring the fathers. I mean, they know they have a special place, but I mean, we know when it comes to some of the spiritual and religious things, you know, it's just more logical to lean more on mom than to lean on dad. So, But, you know, I know Dan, Father Dan, unfortunately, I think last year your mom did go back to heaven, and I was able to celebrate with you at the Mass, the funeral Mass. But I'd like you to talk a little bit about that. Again, you know, thinking about the role that moms have in our priesthood, in our lives, how has that been, you know?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, your moms are their influence is outsized, you could say.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, you can't quantify, I think, the impact that a mom has on, you know, any child, but a son that goes on to become a priest.
Yeah.
I mean, when I think back some of my oldest memories, my earliest memories, one of them anyway, is kneeling down at my bedside at night before going to bed with mom there and her helping me to pray.
Oh,
you
wow.
know, and our
oh,
Father, a Hail Mary.
Special?
Yeah.
Wow.
I love the fact that that's
awesome.
One of the oldest or earliest memories that I have.
Wow, that's great.
And, you know, once I became a priest, mom could not, you know, get enough of, you know, attending my Mass, attending anything that I did, you know.
I thought it was just my mom.
Yeah,
so
right. So, I mean, yeah, she wanted to show up at anything. And so, you know, when I'd get together with mom and dad from time to time and I'd mention some of the things I'm doing, she'd be like, why didn't you tell me that? You know, I want to be there. And I remember when, so I was serving at St. Jude, the Apostle in Sandy Springs. That was my first assignment.
Yeah.
And I had a funeral over at Mary Our Queen, which is, you know, not too far from where mom and dad live.
Yeah.
And so I didn't tell them, though.
You know, okay.
But who shows up in
who
the back of the church?
Mom knows everything, right?
Oh, she found out, and she knew. You better know I heard it, too, afterwards. You know,
right.
Why didn't you tell me about this?
Yeah, so.
But, yeah, she it'll be 1 year this Thanksgiving. She passed away November 28th, 2019, Thanksgiving Day. It was a long, tough, hard journey. She suffered from Alzheimer's for many years, and really those last 18 months were brutal. I'm still grateful for the fact that you and Father Tim Gallagher went and paid a visit to mom and dad at that time, which was a great comfort for us.
Yeah, absolutely. That's good.
But the tremendous blessing was that I was able to, along with my father, celebrate Mass at her bedside the morning of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It was to give her our Lord in Eucharistic communion through a little eyedropper with the precious blood, on her tongue.
Oh, wow.
And we prayed the rosary and we prayed the prayers for the dead. And then she shortly thereafter took her last breath.
Oh, wow.
So it was very sad, but I can't imagine a more
beautiful
way
for her to pass. What a moment of grace.
What
a moment of grace, you know. And I remember even participating with you at the funeral Mass. And I think I might have mentioned this to you after the Mass, but I was really taken by your homily. You know, and I think it is a hard thing for any son to try to eulogize their mother or a parent. But I think to try to do it under those circumstances where you're not only eulogizing your mother, but you're also the principal celebrant at her funeral mass. And I think, first of all, I think the fact that you're able to hold your emotions and able to get through it, I think for many of us who were at the mass, most of us, the priests were at the mass, I think we really appreciated that, you know. And I think I'm still very blessed by the fact that both my parents are still alive. If I don't go before them, of course, I'll have to be in that position someday. And I don't mean to be morbid or anything else, but I mean, it's just a reality of life, you know. And so being at that mass was such an inspiration for me. I mean, your words.
Thank you.
Yeah, just eulogizing mom, but also your strength, you know, and especially how you were able to be a strength for your dad. Because I think, I mean, he has lost his wife for so many years, and, you know, and I think that your strength and your courage at that time, I think, was such an inspiration for so many of us, but for him too, especially.
Thank you, brother. Yeah, I appreciate that very much. And I certainly appreciated your presence there.
Not a problem.
It was awesome to have you and so many of our brothers there.
Priest there. Yeah,
what a
not
comfort.
Not missed it for nothing.
Yeah. One thing I was going to mention was I chalked that up as mom's first miracle from heaven, the fact that I got through that mass.
Oh, yeah, I know, right? Yeah, I remember you said that.
Yeah, because at the very outset of that mass, I didn't think I was going to make it, but somehow I did. And so I'm telling you. Mom was praying from heaven, please God.
I could imagine. Yeah. And, you know, one thing that a lot of people sometimes fail to understand, like you just talked about mom and her battle with Alzheimer's for all those years, you know, that is one of the blessings that we have as Christians. And I think a lot of people fail to recognize that. You know, we live in a world now that there's so much suffering, you know, so much physical suffering, so much emotional suffering, psychological suffering. I mean, suffering is hitting us from every angle. But, you know, I think as Christians, we always draw inspiration. We always draw consolation from the cross. You know, Jesus Christ did not die for nothing. I mean, he died to reveal to us that the path to heaven is through the cross, you know. And when at some point in our lives we are called to share in the mystery of the cross of Christ with him, like St. Paul tells us in the letter to the Colossians, we are participating in this mystery for the salvation of the church, for, you know, that we are participating, helping Christ for the sake of the church, you know? So I think that mom, in a special way, and like you said, Father Tim Gallagher and I went and visited her, and I could tell, you know, very strong, faith-filled woman, you know, loved Christ so much, and I think that she was carrying that cross with him in a very faithful way, you know? And I think that that is a blessing to so many of us who knew her. And I think that continues to be a blessing for the church.
Amen. You know? Amen. Yeah. And that towards the end, you know, her last weeks and months, my prayer was continually just uniting mom's suffering, dad's suffering, our whole family's suffering, uniting that to the suffering of Christ and offering it up to God and just asking him to call down graces on, you know, everyone and anyone and everyone who needed them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So
when we get an update on where we stand,
on the pledge
drive. Yeah.
And before we get that update, just to remind you all again, our goal for this hour is 5,000. And folks, I'm a little disappointed because we are way, way, way away from that goal. I mean, we are way, way from trying to meet that goal. That number again for you all to call is 470-508-1160. Again, 470-508-1160. Please call, make a pledge. It doesn't have to be something big. Anything small makes a difference.
But we like big.
I mean, of course. I mean, you know.
And I was recalling during the break that we are in Father Henry's old stomping grounds. He was first a parochial vicar at St. Peter Chanel Church.
Yes, right here in Roswell.
Lit that place on fire. So I'm sure there are several, many people in this area who would just die to make a pledge to the quest in Father Henry's honor. So come on, people.
That's right.
Call in.
And of course, I mean, some folks too from St. Jude's, because Father Dan's first assignment was St. Jude's for 4 years. So before he went to Canon Law School and then became judicial vicar. So,
so Father Henry.
Yes.
Joe called back.
Okay.
Ooh. Yep. Joe called back and upped his donation.
He did.
He did.
Okay.
He did. So, so I think you gotta. I think you owe him a little something here.
Okay. So you think I need to do it? Okay.
He did answer the call. So
he didn't answer the call. Okay. Okay.
Before you do it, all you Georgia fans out there, just for a moment, not long, but just for a moment, just turn the volume way
just
down.
Turn the volume way down, please, okay? please.
All right.
Because I know I've been carrying the flag for UGA for a while now in the diocese, so I don't want to bring any shame or disgrace to the Bulldog family. So, but because I love the quest. And because Joe has made such a great pledge to help us in this work of evangelization, I'm going to say it now. I don't know, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try.
You're looking sick there, Father.
Exactly right. So, Joe, for you, I'm going to say it. Roll Tide. Okay.
All right, Joe.
There you go, Joe.
Give us that credit card number,
yeah,
Joe.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Well, we want to say thank you to all those who've called in and donated this hour besides just Joe, because there's been many
that's
more.
Great.
So
great.
We've had Lauren W., Kathy M., Dennis R., Eleanor L., Joe D., John K. from Peachtree Corners, Paula K. from St. Peter Chanel Parish, Maria F., Leanne B., Shirley B. from Decula, and she's from St. Lawrence Parish, Joanna B. from St. Thomas the Apostle Parish, Lynn G. from St. Lawrence Parish, and I think a James G. as well is what I'm seeing come in here, and a Trudy Turner from St. Lawrence Parish. So we are moving right along.
Oh, wonderful.
Do we have a total at this point? How are we coming in our goal?
Let's see here.
We're still far from it, huh?
We're over halfway there. This is very doable.
Well, okay, it's doable.
Yep. We're over halfway there, but we're way over halfway through our hour.
Through our hour, that's right.
We got to do some
serious. So what's that number they have to call?
Well, that number they have to call is 470-508-1160. Please, we're asking you to call that number and support us in this great work. Our goal is 5,000. As Annie just told us, we are halfway there, and we please want to cross that finish line. Yeah. So,
yeah, as Father Henry mentioned, you know, this awesome, great programming on the quest, and that alone is enough to justify supporting the fund campaign, the pledge campaign. But we want to grow it. We want to grow the quest. Father Henry alluded to the fact that the range is a little bit limited, and we want to make that range bigger, broader, wider, so we can meet more people. But the only way we can do that is if we have the money
to
make
the
investments, to get the equipment to expand that range. They also want to start looking at doing some local programming as well to, you know, incorporate that into the programming that they get from EWTN and some of these other radio stations. And wouldn't it be awesome to be able to listen to Father Henry attend every week, to sit at the feet of the Master just let it pour over you and nourish you and edify you and lift you up. And if you pledge and we get the money, we can do things like that.
And folks, you always have to remember, there's no master without the savior. So Father Dan.
Lightning is going to strike.
I know, lightning's going to strike, right?
It's perfectly sunny, but lightning's going to strike.
I see a local show right here.
That voice you're hearing is Steph. She just walked in to give us a message, I believe.
You know what? I just got, the phones are blowing up back there, and I just got a call that I just had to run in and share because it's so much fun. This one is for Father Henry, and this person who called is Edwin.
Oh, Edwin.
And when he told me his last name, I said, I said, are you the good-looking brother?
Nowhere close. Nowhere close.
Oh, yeah. He says, yes, I am.
No, he is not.
He says, how'd you know? Anyway, he says, you're welcome for dinner, and he gave us a nice one-time gift for in honor of you. So I just wanted to run in and share that. It was so much fun.
That's great.
Very cool.
And Edwin just had a second child. So he has two children now, and thank God for him and his wife, Georgette. They are building a wonderful family.
How many times an uncle are you?
Okay, so I'm Uncle Six now.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. So I have two brothers and two sisters. The one up in Indianapolis just has three children, Henry, Devin, and Chloe. Uh-huh. Then the brother here in town has two children, Roman and Eva Marie, was born a few weeks ago. And then my baby sister has one child, Ariana.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm uncle number six. So love me a big Catholic family.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. Beautiful. That's great. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, brother.
All right. Yeah. I got a question for you.
Okay, sure.
One of the things that's been troubling me.
Okay.
With not only just American society, but also in the church, increasing polarization.
Okay.
I mean, that's been the trend in the United States for some time now. But more recently, I've seen it infecting the church.
Absolutely.
More polarization happening in the church. And, you know, we know how Christ, with his apostles in the upper room the night before, you know, he's going to go and into the garden and then ultimately get arrested and go to his passion, death, and glorious resurrection on Easter Sunday. He prayed for what? Unity.
Exactly.
Unity of the body. Right. Unity within the church. Unity, you know, the church. And then I see this polarization happening in the church. So it's got to be a temptation for priests too. I know it is. To get sucked into that same polarization.
Yeah.
Do you experience that? What are your thoughts on it, and how do you deal with it personally?
Okay. Yeah. Well, I think, and that's an important thing. And, you know, polarization defines, I mean, the atmosphere of our society today. I mean, you know, from the political realm, economics, as you say, it is creeping its way into the church. And, of course, being in the trenches, being in the parishes, you deal with that. You know, those people will come in and people have different political suasions, and you know, there's always a desire for you as a priest, or there's a desire for them to try to get you as a priest to either be on their side or to preach the gospel from their perspective. And you know, I've come to understand, and I said this in a homily a few weeks ago in my parish, you know, politics by its very nature talks about division, right? It's politics is the division of power. And therefore, the political approach to things is always to divide, you know, especially when it comes to identity, what they call identity politics. The fact that, you know, I belong to this group and you belong to that group, and then it creates this tension and ultimately creates division. But that's what politics is all about. It's all about dividing power, right? And the point I was making in my homily that day was the fact that the Christian approach is not the political way, because the political way divides. The Christian approach is to unite. And by uniting, the Christian sees that there are some qualities in society or some virtues in society that by their very nature do not divide. Instead, by their nature, they multiply. So the more love you give, the more love you get, right? The more kindness you give, the more kindness you get. That virtue by its very nature is subject to the logic of multiplication, not to the what we call the zero-sum principle of division, which is pretty much what politics is. So as a priest, the way I try to deal with some of the polarization and the political tension that is created is that I do not try to use my faith or religious teachings as a wedge to push a specific political agenda. I believe that anybody and everybody is in need of salvation. So as a priest, I think that it is important for me to emphasize the fact that wherever you are in life, try to be the best person that you can be. That if as a person, if I'm converted enough to be able to make a difference, I think that the effects of that will ripple around, you know, around my community. You know, I was having dinner with some parishioners the other day, and one lady said she heard something on Bishop Barron say on his show, that sometimes you might be the only gospel that somebody's able to witness, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that has been my very basic inclination when it comes to dealing with polarization. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily falling into the zero-sum mentality that, you know, we have to be on this side or that side, or, you know, choose this this position or that position, but that everybody, in a sense, is broken. Everybody's a sinner, and everybody's in need of healing, right? Mm-hmm. And that regardless of where you stand, if we are able to try to help you to just love God more and appreciate society more and appreciate and love your neighbor more, I think that we ultimately are going to transform, you know, our society.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a couple things about our church, just the way it's structured, and then about the basic Catholic spirituality or what's asked of us as Catholic Christians that facilitate and can help, you know, promote the unity for which Christ prayed. But of course, we have to recognize them. We have to respond to them. And the first thing is that Christ gave us a hierarchical church.
Absolutely.
Okay?
Right.
A holy order.
Absolutely.
The church, a holy structure. Okay. That's the meaning of that word hierarchy. And so that the church has a skeleton. It's got a distinct form and shape to it, okay,
absolutely,
by which Christ wants it to function, okay? And what that demands of each person within that structure is the virtue of obedience.
Absolutely, right?
Live in respect to the structure, the hierarchy that Christ established for the church.
Absolutely.
And that's one of the things that's troubled me lately is in this polarization within the church that I'm seeing is more and more people getting really outspoken about, what be it their pastor, their bishop, the Pope or whatever,
exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
You're entitled to your own opinion and whatnot. But at the end of the day, we're called to be obedient.
To be obedient.
To the structure
that Christ gave us.
And if we're obedient, it's going to facilitate that being one, being united in the one body of Christ.
Interesting you say that because I was talking to, I think it was in the homily, I was trying to explain that, and I said, you know, the highest virtue in the church is love. You know, we define God as God is love. That's what St. John tells us. And I say that is precisely why God revealed himself as three persons, that he is a communion, that is communion, a bond of communion, which is defined by love. And I said, and I was telling them in the homily, I say, and for us as Christians, our motivation to obey is love. That it is love that drives everything that we try to do.
Amen.
Because when we obey out of love, then we're able to truly foster and build and strengthen that communion, which I think that is necessary, which, as you say, is the communion that Jesus prayed for at the, you know, at the Last Supper.
To be obedient is not to be a doormat, you know, experience some kind
absolutely
of subjugation
not
or whatever. It's the love.
It's the love.
It's
absolutely.
The love. Yeah.
It's the love. And to recognize that, like you said, that structure that is there is given for a higher purpose, for a higher reason.
Mm-hmm.
And because I love that higher reason, I love God, the person behind that higher purpose, mm-hmm, then I obey the structure because it helps me to be able to demonstrate to him that I love him. And that's why I obey, and that's why I accept that structure.
Yeah.
Right?
So, yeah. Awesome. That's the beauty of our Catholic faith. And it's something that I think we need to remind people of, help them to appreciate it and conform their lives in accord with, you know, the structure of the church that Christ gave us. So,
All right. So, as we are coming close to the end of this hour, again, we are very grateful to all those who have been able to call in to support us. We are grateful for your generosity. You know, our Lord gave us the parable of the mustard seed. He said, whatever little seed you put in the ground, that seed could grow to become a very big bush. So we are deeply grateful to everyone who has called within this hour to support Father Dan and myself. But again, the work and the responsibility of supporting the quest is an ongoing effort. So it doesn't end today. It doesn't end with this hour. We are asking you to sign up to be a monthly donor, to sign up to be an annual donor, however you could continue to support the mission of the quest. I think it is something that would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah. You know, people, we have an obligation as Christians, as disciples of the Lord Jesus, to evangelize.
Absolutely.
To evangelize. Now, a lot of Catholics I know, not super comfortable, you know, going and talking to people about Jesus and sharing my faith and whatnot. But there's lots of ways to evangelize. The quest is really an evangelical apostolate here in the Archdiocese of Atlanta. It's sharing the gospel, sharing the good news with anyone who will tune in. So you can be an evangelist by supporting the quest. If you make a donation to the quest to support the efforts of this radio station, you are assisting in the work of evangelization. You are an evangelist, and you will be responding to your baptismal commitment to share the gospel with
Absolutely.
Others.
That's right. So that number again for you all to call is 470-508-1160. 470-508-1160. You could also go to the website, thequestatlanta.com, and there you could also make your pledges, and you could always call the radio station and also pledge and make a pledge. So again, we're very grateful to all of you for the help and for the support you've given us at this hour. We are going to be here for a few more minutes. For those who want to continue to call, please, we ask you to make the call and help us to support the Quest radio station as they help each one of us. As Father Dan said, those of us who cannot be on the forefront of the mission of evangelization, we support the Quest so they could help us do that. So
we're only around $900 away from our goal. So, and I just got a note saying we're staying on the air for an extra 10 minutes so we can get that $900.
Right. Oh, okay.
So now is the time to call. 470-508-1160. 470-508-1160, or go to thequestatlanta.com and click that donate button. So if you've been thinking about becoming a monthly donor, now is your time to shine.
So when Father Henry and I got here to the station, a little before he and I were supposed to come on, we met with the leadership of the station, and they asked us if, you know, we wanted to have a goal. And Father Henry threw out $5,000, and they looked at him like, you sure? Like, come on, let's do it.
Right.
You know? So we set an ambitious goal, but we're almost there.
We're almost there. That's
almost
right.
There. So please, if you're listening, take a moment to give us a call, give a pledge, help us reach that goal.
You know, I need to share the story real quick. So I invited Bishop Ned to preside as once a year we have a mass for the what they call the Pan-African Catholic Organization. And
I'm still waiting for my invitation.
Oh, you're still waiting for your invitation. That's right. It's in the mail. I don't know what's wrong with this post office people. But yeah, so Bishop Ned did the last mass before the pandemic hit, and we've not had a mass since then. But during the mass, it's a very high energy mass, and like Africans, it's very celebratory, and offertory, everything is done in a with deep celebration, right? You know, so anyway, so at the mass, offertory, people have to dance to come up with their gifts. Like, you know, there's a lot of motion and moving during the celebration. So when people came up and they were dancing to bring up their offertory, and afterwards we took up a second collection to support the Pan-African organization, and I made an announcement. I said, if you don't dance, bring up your money. When you come up, you have to put the money and go back and bring on more money to come and put in the... But this time you have to dance.
Right.
So Bishop Ned told me after the mass, he said, Father Henry, you're the first priest I've seen make people dance to come give you money.
Well, see, now that could be used against you, brother.
No,
oh, boy. We could have fun with that.
Oh, I know. You have no option to use that against me. So
right.
Every time we give to the Lord, we have to do it in a joyful way,
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
I mean, everything for the Lord's work.
I remember at our priesthood ordination.
Yeah.
I mean, they had to, you know, assign to each one of us. There were 8 of us were ordained together.
I know, right?
Right? So in this tiny little cathedral that we have down in Buckhead, they had to, you know, designate, I think it was like 25
seats per person. 25 tickets per person.
Right.
Yeah,
and Henry's
exactly.
Like, I could fill up this church by myself. So,
you know, I'm telling you, when you have big families and, you know, a whole bunch of friends, you know, and, you know, again, I think a part of it is our culture. I mean, you know, For a Cameroonian to be ordained in the U.S. was a novelty for them. They had never had one like that before, so they were very excited. I had people come from all over. So.
Yeah, I remember the beautiful, colorful clothing
and headdresses
that all the women were wearing.
Right.
It's impressive. Yeah.
That's right.
And them singing after outside.
I know, outside.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, Archbishop Wilton Gregory had his column, what I've seen and heard in the next week after the ordination was about the songs that the women were singing outside.
Oh, was
it?
All
right. So he wrote something about that. That was very impressive.
Fantastic.
So.
Fantastic.
All right, folks, please call this number, 470-508-1160. 470-508-1160. We are very, very close to our goal, and Father Dan and I, we have decided we are not going to dinner until we meet that goal. And you do not want to have two starving priests. That is not a very good thing.
Exactly.
You don't want Christ to hold that against you. So,
Amen.
So we're asking you to please go ahead and try to call in and support the work of the Quest Atlanta.
This has been great. I have thoroughly enjoyed spending this time with you. Yeah. I knew we would have fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And right. I hope that people have been listening and having fun.
Yeah.
And
we want to make sure we say thank you to those who've called
great.
In. So
okay, go ahead.
We've got a long list here, so bear with me, guys. So Lauren W., Kathy M., Dennis R., Eleanor L., Joe D., John K., Paula K., Maria F., Leanne B., Shirley B., Joanna B., Lynn G., James G., Trudy Turner, Claudine P., Kathy M., Diane M., Ed and Christine K., and they donated in honor of Father Ketter, Maureen O., in honor of Father Henry and Father Ketter, Patty M., in honor of Father Henry, Mary Jo and Charlie W., Dennis M., in honor of Father Ketter, Stephanie T., in honor of Father Ketter and Father Henry, Robert R., Edwin A., and Betty M., and Beverly O. So we're looking to add your name to the list next. So 470-508-1160, 470-508-1160. We're almost to our goal, so help us meet that goal, please.
Folks, we would love to hit our goal of $5,000, and so we're just waiting. We're waiting for you to come through and put us over the mark.
And you know, one thing they don't know is that we have a beautiful yellow bell in the studio, which if we meet that goal, we'll be able to ring. Now, if we don't ring that bell, mass cannot start. So you all need to know that.
That's right.
We need to ring that bell for mass to start, okay?
Is it for mass or is it for dinner?
Well,
it's the dinner bell. Both.
Well, both, I guess, right?
Okay. Right. So, Very good.
So, yeah, but...
help us ring that bell.
We're excited. I think it's been a good hour together. And just an opportunity for Father Dan and I to catch up with the pandemic and all the limitations. We've not been able to spend as much time together. So I think that this is also giving us the opportunity to spend some time to catch up and to just celebrate our friendship.
Amen.
You know, I mean, what a beautiful friendship we've had and the opportunity to be able to support each other in our priestly vocation.
Absolutely.
So that's been good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. So fathers, I have an interesting question for you.
Oh,
so
not another roll tide.
No.
Okay.
No. I won't do that to you.
Okay.
Because I don't like that team either. So.
Sorry, Joe.
All right. So you know how everybody always asks, what's an interesting fact? I would like to know what's a boring fact. Yes.
About us?
Yeah.
Oh,
what's
a boring fact?
About
us.
So like me, I don't drink coffee. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's a boring fact about me?
Yeah. Just, you know, random
there's,
fact.
There's not anything boring about Father Henry.
Okay.
I mean, that's the amazing thing. That, you know.
I don't know if I'll call it a boring fact, but I would say sometimes at night before I go to sleep, I have to use, so I go to YouTube, and I have to get the rain, background noise.
Like a white noise kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, so I was going to say, you know, rain and thunderstorms for sleep. And that's what puts me to sleep. I don't know if that's a...
That totally qualifies.
Boring fact.
Nice.
All right, Father Ketter.
Nice, yeah, boring fact.
Well, I'll give one boring fact about Father Ketter.
He's got a lot of boring facts, unfortunately.
That's right.
You folks better call in and give me that goal so we can get off the air. I think
sometimes this is a problem when you know someone a little too much.
Yeah,
so,
right.
Well, so Father Ketter and I went seminary together, as he said. And in seminary, we have all the sports that we play. I mean, all these intramurals and all of that. And one day we got an email saying that, there was going to be soccer. And they were inviting all of us to come down to play soccer. Well, I mean, you know, Father Dan, you're born in Seattle, right?
Yeah.
So I know there's no way in the world a boy from Seattle knows anything about soccer. So, but who was the first one to show up on the soccer field? Father Dan. And he did not disappoint me. He knew nothing about soccer. So, but I tell you, though, I give you E for the effort. You were there.
You
did the best that you could.
Yeah.
So if you want to know a boring fact about Father Dan, ask him to come around and play soccer.
Yeah, that is. Right. Don't pick him for your soccer team.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's coming from the little Pele here, you know, who was the superstar of the seminary soccer team that enabled our seminary to win the Rector's Cup,
right?
The interseminary competition. Yeah. How many years?
That like 4 years in a row or something. So
anybody compared to Father Henry is going to look like, you know, Pee Wee Herman on the soccer field. So.
Thank God all the other guys were better than me in other dioceses, so they're probably not hearing this show. So I'm not afraid of the competition.
That's right.
All right, folks. I'm going to announce that number to you all. The number here is 470-508-1160. 470-508-1160. And again, our goal is 5,000. And as Ernest said, we are so close to meeting that goal. And this beautiful bell sitting next to Father Dan, we really, really, really want to ring it. So we're asking you to please make an effort to call in and to try to support us at this hour.
Maybe one approach we could suggest is, if you're one of those folks Annie read off her list of people who've made a donation, and you're still tuned in with us, maybe you could call somebody you know put a little guilt trip on them. These poor priests want to go and eat some dinner.
I know, right?
But they need to hit $5,000. So would you just call and make a donation? You know?
So. You know, Annie, let me ask you a question. How close are you guys to being able to take calls? Because I would like to be able to even just have some people call us in and ask questions.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm not sure how close we are, but I know that we need donations in order to get the software and the actual device that we need to be able to do it.
It's
not cheap. So your calls and your donations help us to be able to get to that position.
Okay.
Yes.
So I guess Father Dan and I think we're going to work to do another show. And what we're going to do is we're going to set the goal to be for us to help the Quest get that device.
Yeah,
so I like it. We're going to talk to Carol after this, and we're going to find out how much that is going to cost so that we could run a specific pledge drive for you all to get that device. Because I think that, and you know, I'm happy sitting here. We could sit here 4 or 5 hours and just, you know, chat and talk about different things. And, you know, I've been having to put up with him, you know, since, you know, for many, many years now. So that's
what's 4 hours?
Exactly. That's effortless. But I think that it would be good for us to get to a point where we're able to get people to come in, call in, ask questions. Yep. And, you know, it could be specific questions about our lives, or it could be about the priesthood. It could be about the faith.
Yeah.
You know, something that would be more practical for us to help people.
I agree. Yeah. I think it'd be a great way to help the listening audience engage more with the radio station too. If we had some programming that allowed them to call in and ask questions or make comments. Also a way to kind of highlight, you know, some of the things that are going on in the Archdiocese of Atlanta.
Absolutely.
So much of the programming, you know, it's like, you know, US-wide, you know, or broad focus, where being able to do some local stuff with some call-in would help, you know, highlight the good things that are going on right here in the Archdiocese. Yeah.
And it's interesting you say that, because we had a meeting one time, Carol and myself, and I think Alan Hunt was even at that meeting. And that was one of the issues that came up. Try to localize the station as much as we can, and to try to ensure that it is able to meet the needs of our audience here in the diocese.
Yeah.
As much as we want to evangelize, and the truth is the truth, regardless of where you are, but you know, we also want to make it relevant to, you know, our own local environment. So
that's right.
I think that being able to get a device like that that could help people call in real time and ask questions and interact with us, I think that would be a great boost for the radio station. So
So I got a question for you.
Uh-oh.
They were, you know, they're reading off all these names.
Yeah.
I was thinking of your name, your middle name.
Yeah.
Amingua. Henry, Father Henry Amingua.
Amingua, that's right.
What's that mean? What's Amingua mean?
You know, it's interesting. I've asked my mom what that means. Yeah. And again, we talked about moms. And my mom said, well, I was named after my granddad, my mom's father. Yeah. And I mean, he's since passed. But honestly, 99% of our African names have a meaning.
Yeah.
That's one I don't know what the meaning is.
All right, that's your homework for
that's
our
my homework, right?
Show.
Next yeah. I did ask my mom what that meant, and uh-huh. she's never told me what it is, you know. So I'm not sure what Amingwa means, but
yeah.
All right. So I've got a few more names to add to that list. And okay. so we want to say thank you to Sue and Dave W, Kathleen K, Doris G, Mark and Natalie, and Jorge M. So we really want to say thank you for all your donations this, well, a little more than an hour because we are a little over. So, and we, you know, we're just shy. And so you could call and
put
make that donation. We're only like $500 away, which is incredible from where we started.
Okay.
And especially because this was a back half game. Like yeah. it really was.
Okay.
So give us a phone call, 470-508-1160 or go to thequestatlanta.com. But would one of you like to close us with a prayer and a blessing, maybe
all right.
from both of you?
Yes, we're going to do that. But because I really cannot leave this studio today without ringing that bell. Mm-hmm. So how much more do we have left?
Let me do the little calculation.
Okay. Yeah. So if it is 500, we're gonna pledge to pay that 500.
Yeah. Yep.
And we're going to do that. And we're going to get somebody to make sure we do that 500 today before.
We are $565 away.
Okay, we'll do that because Father Keda has to ring this bell. You know, he has
it's literally sitting next to his
exactly.
his arm here.
And he used to be a very faithful altar server. So now that he has to be the one to celebrate the Mass and do the consecration, unless somebody else ring the bell, I think that he kind of misses that. So
I miss ringing the bell.
Exactly. I know you do miss ringing the bell. So I think that Father Keda and I, we're going to split that, and then we're going to ring this bell right now.
Yeah.
Is that okay?
That's okay.
Father Keda, go for it.
Woo!
That's great.
Awesome. All right, Father Henry, I think you deserve to ring the bell as well.
Okay. Yep. Well, there we go.
Yep.
All right.
Yes. Now,
okay.
A prayer so, and a blessings.
Father Dan, I'm going to take this opportunity to thank you so much for the opportunity to spend this time together. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to do this more often.
I think so.
I really enjoyed it.
I did too.
Yeah.
Thanks
All
for
right.
being a part of it.
So I'm going to ask you, since you seem to be the holy of the two of us, I'm going to
look at that nose grow.
That's right. So I'm going to ask you to do the final prayer and the final blessing for us.
Okay. I'm gonna use St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians for our final blessing. You know, there's several passages in Scripture that really are, you know, blessings. And this is one beautiful one that I've always really enjoyed. And so I thought it'd be a good way to wrap up our time here. But we have people stirring here. Barbara S. gave $250.
Barbara S., we thank you for your donation this hour. Yes.
For him.
In honor of Father Keter. Okay. So thank you.
Thank you, Barbara.
For both of us. Okay, beautiful. Thank you, Barbara
S.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yes. We have people who keep running in and out. It's a little distracting sometimes. But
yeah. And the one thing which they need to know, Father Dan, before you do the final prayer there, that the donations, the pledges do not end with the end of the show.
Oh, yeah.
So you could always call anytime, day or night. Call that number, send an email, go to the website and make a donation. Our efforts to ensure that the Quest continues to do the good work of evangelization is an ongoing effort. So please, we ask that your donations do not stop with this hour, but that you continue to do the best you can to help the Quest to stay on the air, because we need them to help us as we continue to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. Okay?
Yeah.
And Father Henry and I decided that any pledges that come in after we go off the air, we get credit for
that. We get credit for that. That's right. All right.
Yes. Okay, so now I think we're ready for that prayer.
Okay,
yes.
Beautiful.
Question. Comes from St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 and following. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that he may grant you, in accord with the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner self, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the holy ones what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to accomplish far more than all we ask or imagine by the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And may Almighty God bless all of you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, thank you, everyone. Thank you, fathers. And thank you for a great day one. We look forward to hearing, well, not hearing, you'll be hearing from us tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. when we're live back in the studio here at AM 1160 The Quest.